All right, hello, lacrosse fans, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Hive. I am your host and the voice of the Minnesota Swarm, Jake Elliott, and joined, as always, by my good buddy of mnswarm.com, Alex Shimke. Alec, it's been a few games since we last joined you inside the Hive, so let's get caught up on what's been happening with the Swarm leading into our big doubleheader weekend, which we'll get to. But let's talk about that Calgary Roughnecks game. The last time we talked to you, heading into that one in Calgary, and the game, Alec, where the Swarm just kind of got down early in that game and were never really able to recover as they got down in that game. The offense put up 15 goals, but the goaltending and defense allowing 19 in that one.
Yeah, that was certainly a tough game, Jake. A lot of emotion in the locker room afterwards as that put us at 3-7 and really gut check time for the team. Luckily, we bounced back now, winning two straight, and have improved to 5-7. But you nailed it there. The offense, had a pretty solid game at 15 goals, but defensively, we just could not seem to stop the Roughnecks offense.
Hey, you mentioned, the locker room after that game, and a lot of soul searching going on, a lot of speeches, and a real passionate one by the captain, Andrew Suter. It kind of gave me the chills. I don't know about you, but I left that weekend, and I thought about a lot of things and kind of took a look at myself. And I know a lot of other guys probably had a look in the mirror as well and really kind of reevaluated what was important to themselves and important to the team. And it seemed like kind of when we got back after that week from Calgary, things just kind of felt a little different around the team.
Yeah, I think so. Like you mentioned, Suter had a really emotional speech to the team and, the fact of the matter was his team sat at 3-7 at that time. And, you looked at the standings, Colorado, was right around where we were too, but, we were on the verge of, being not eliminated from the playoffs, but we were out of the playoff picture at the time. And I think that really set home to a lot of guys, as his team had a very great season last year, making to the West Division Finals. There's a lot of potential on this team and, it had not been reached yet. A lot of guys have they mentioned in the locker room they're going to go home and do their things to help improve the team, and so far we've seen that the past couple weeks.
Yeah, we get back to Minnesota a week later to take on the Stealth after being away for a few weeks, and of course the trade deadline had passed at that time as well, and a few moves were made, and one of those moves that were made was activating Josh Gillum, who's returned from pro hockey. He's one of the guys we'll talk to coming up here inside the Hive. Joel Henry was moved to the practice roster. And the other guy that we're going to talk to is Matt Gibson, who has been getting a little bit more playing time over the last couple of games. But let's talk about that Stealth game, in a game where Tyler Carlson put on a performance, Alec, only allowing 5 goals. And a couple of those goals are kind of really cheap ones, too. So one of the best performances we've ever seen out of a Swarm goaltender in Tyler Carlson is the Stealth go down to the Swarm 12-5 in that one.
Yeah, huge win, knocking off at the time the West Division leading Stealth, also gave us a season series, as we won 2-1 there. And then Carlson, like you mentioned, gave up a league low 5 goals. Unbelievable performance. He almost broke the team record, which is at 4 goals, and a couple garbage goals at the end. So, the defense played stellar. You had Ryan Benesch, you had Callum Crawford breaking several team scoring records. And as you mentioned, Jake, and he's just joined us on the line, Josh Gillum joined the Swarm that night, also got his first goal. So look forward to speaking with Josh here shortly about, what it's been like to come back with the team.
Yeah, we'll get to Josh Gillum momentarily, but let's get you recapped on the next game we played, and that was up against the Philadelphia Wings. And a good team meeting where everybody was involved and kind of cleared the air a little bit. And you could see that, the attitude, the chemistry had kind of shifted a little bit. And, we had that bye week in between the Stealth game and the Philly game. And you kind of thought, oh, man, we're coming off a win. Do we want that week off? But it really didn't seem to slow us down as we came out and hung 20, a team record in goals against the Philadelphia Wings, winning that one 20-11. And just some spectacular goals in this one. From Jay Card, Crawford, Gillum and Gibson in there as well, with just some unbelievable athletic goals in that one, as we went away winning that one pretty handily 20-11.
Hey, the one thing I really noticed too, Jake, in that game is we had a really balanced scoring attack. I think the number was 12 different players scored against the Wings. So everyone was involved. Everybody was confident taking shots. Defensively, Evan Kirk got back in the zone, having a very solid game. he had been a little bit of a funk. So one of the more well-rounded performances this season, and came at the Hive as well. You know, you can't play in a better barn than in the XL Energy Center.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw Bleacher Report ranking the XL Energy Center as the number one place to check out a game. So that's kudos to the Treasure Island Field and the XL Energy Center. And a huge weekend coming up this weekend is it's a doubleheader weekend. We'll take on the Bandits on Saturday, and then Philadelphia less than 24 hours later in Philly. We'll talk about that with our guest that's ready to come inside the Hive. I believe Josh Gillum is ready to do that. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks for coming inside the Hive, my man. Your second time back inside the Hive. That's a rare occasion. We haven't had too many two-time guests, so feel good about that. What are you up to today, Josh?
Actually, I just got off the ice. I've been running a hockey camp here back in Peterborough, my hometown.
Let's get into the hockey. I know, you know, and most fans know, you play professional hockey back in Germany during the off season. That season just wrapped up. How did hockey go for you this winter?
It went pretty well. You know, our team finished in first place this year, which was great. Had an early exit in the first round, which wasn't what we were planning on. But overall, it was a good season for us.
And maybe you could just remind myself and maybe the fans as well, so they can have a chance to follow you. What's the league that you play in, and what's the team that you play for?
My team was called Peiting. It's a small town outside of Munich, and it's the German Oberliga.
Well, there you go, fans. If you want to check that out,
you can watch it.
Yeah, that might be a little difficult. Now, you're also a personal trainer, Josh. Is that something that you just do when you're back home in Peterborough during the summer, or is that something you do year-round?
That's something, for now, what I do in the summers. I do want to get involved with that training aspect for athletes and high-end athletes as I go forward with my life here, for sure.
Well, I was just about to ask you if you could get Jumbo on the program, but I'm hardly an elite athlete, so we might have to curtail something.
We can make
some room,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so it gets up there a little easier for me if you can hook me up on the program.
Sure.
Josh, you got a couple of games under your belt now, and you're in your second year in the National Lacrosse League. You're coming off a 7-point effort against Philadelphia. Just maybe give us your thoughts on how things have gone for you so far personally.
Well, personally, they've gone well. I mean, you know, I'm coming back into a team with a lot of energy when we want to have it, and the last two games we've really brought together a full effort with energy, and everybody's moving the ball and touching the ball, at least from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, it's been great the last two games, and I've been pretty lucky to come into the group again and be accepted the way I have with the team and the great guys and the atmosphere. So I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, we had a chance to talk a little bit after the game last week, and, you know, I mentioned to you that during the broadcast, I had mentioned that I thought you'd been struggling a bit, and then I looked down at the score sheet, and you got 7 points, and I kind of had to do a little bit of a double take. And for me, that's probably a good sign, and for yourself, that if I think you're struggling and you're putting up 7 points, imagine what's going to happen when you actually get the motor running.
Well, you know, it's definitely a team effort. You know, we put up 20 as an offensive unit. So with the ball moving and everything, you know, it's going to hit a lot of sticks. And I got fortunate enough to get 7 points last game. But, you know, if there's every night somebody else is getting 7 points and we're putting up numbers like that, I mean, you can't ask for much more.
Something you also mentioned is that it's difficult for you to kind of retrain the brain a little bit to go from professional hockey to professional lacrosse. It can't be an easy thing to do. What do you think the biggest difference or the hardest thing to do maybe to transfer from one sport to the other?
Well, a lot of people ask me if the conditioning part is hard to skating to running, but that's actually not really the hardest part. The hardest part is just the gameplay with, you know, a black puck around your feet and looking down most of the time, and then you come to lacrosse and you got a white ball up around your ears. So that's kind of the difference there, where you're trying to get used to the gameplay and the switchover really quickly with the ball moving in the air versus the puck on the ground kind of thing. So that's the
right
hard part, I would say.
Now, personally, it looks to me like you are a lot more relaxed this year. You kind of feel more comfortable and confident around the team than you did coming into your first year halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. Is that just a case of, you know, knowing most of the guys coming back this time and probably knowing what to expect coming back into the Minnesota this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a combination of the two. The coming in with guys that I know now, for the most part, the same core group of guys, and the coaching unit is the same, and everybody in the atmosphere, you know, you get a little bit more familiar with that. And then, you know, just in the locker room, you know your role as well with coming in a second year, you know, talking with the coaches before coming back, and it's, you know, they let you know what they expect from you. We got a great coaching staff and a great staff in general around the arena, and you know, you just feel a little bit more comfortable coming in after you've done it one time around already.
And you've now had a couple of games and a few practices to see some of the new players around the team. What's your take on our draft picks this year? You know, Jackson, Matisse, Krepincek.
Well, they're bringing, you know, obviously a lot of stuff to our lineup. I mean, I'm more than impressed and happy with them, you know, coming in halfway through the year. You know, you're following online and everything, but you don't really know what to expect when you actually see them and everything in person. And I mean, Jackson is putting up great numbers. Matisse is just got the Rookie of the Week, I think I saw that. And then, you know, Krepper is amazing in the back door. And, I mean, it's awesome to watch these guys coming in and making an impact on our team and in the league right away.
And then probably the last guy we should mention is a guy that you're probably more familiar with than anybody, Brock Sorensen.
Oh, yeah, Brock. Me and him go way back from when we were young lads. And, I mean, I love playing with Brock. I love his energy in the locker room, on the floor. You know, I'm comfortable hearing his voice and playing with his style. And, I mean, he's impressing me out there, too. He's coming off of a tough injury from the summer there. So he's really pushing hard to be his best for us, and it's working.
And, you know, you mentioned following the team online and kind of keeping up to date. You know, we got off to that slow start, 3-7 mm-hmm. by the time you rejoined the team, but a couple of wins in a row now. And can you kind of see the difference in the attitude and the kind of aura around the team after those last two wins? What do you think the difference of, besides yourself, of course, is the difference of, you know, why the team got off to a slow start and maybe why we've kind of turned the corner now?
Well, I think, from what I've noticed, I mean, we had a meeting as a team and the staff was all there and everything. And we sort of just talked about being together as a family and, you know, getting back to the things that we were doing last year, playing our style, our role, you know, recognizing what we have to do individually to help the team's success. And, That first weekend that I was back, I really saw a change from the first practice right through to the end of the game, where we really just started to gel together and accept what we were supposed to do. And, you know, we're happy to be there and you know, take it as an honor to wear the jersey and execute what we're there to do.
Now, speaking of jerseys, I'm not sure if I asked you this the last time you were here, but it's always something that kind of interests me and fascinates me. And probably on the Swarm more so than any other team, we have some interesting jersey number choices. Now, you wear number 81.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a number you wear in hockey or just lacrosse? And is there a reason behind that?
Well, it's actually kind of a new thing for me, but I do wear it in hockey as well. I've worn it for the last 2 years in hockey and the last 2 years in lacrosse as well. I normally wear number 22, but in Peterborough here over the summer league, the summer ball league, 22 was already taken when I started in with the lineup, and they needed to know a number that I wanted, so I kind of just wanted to go with something a little different. So I just took 81, and we had a great year. I had a great summer, and then I decided to go with hockey, and hockey was good with it, so I stuck with it when I came to Minnesota. And, you know, we had a great run last year. Didn't reach our ultimate goal, but we made a good run with it, so I figured I'd just kind of stick with it.
So no real reason you picked 81? Is that maybe the year you were born, or just...
Nope, just wanted to switch things up. You know, I didn't want to go with my birth year's 88, so I didn't really want to wear that. I didn't really want to have any ties with something new. I mean, I wore 22 while growing up, and my father wore 22, and, you know, I just wanted to change things up because I couldn't have what I wanted, so I figured I'd start something new and change it up with an 81.
All right. Well, a big weekend coming up ahead here for us, a doubleheader weekend. First up, it's Buffalo.
Yep.
Maybe just talk a little bit about that Bandits lineup. They're a team that's lost five in a row now, but sometimes that can be the most dangerous team to face when a team's desperate and on a losing streak like that.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you look at us, you know, take us, for example. We were on a losing streak, and now we're on fire right now as a team. So you never know when a team is going to start clicking and things are going to start rolling for them. I think we just need to not worry too much about what they're going to do and just kind of continue what's made us successful over the last two games.
Yeah, you don't want to look past Buffalo, but Philly coming up right after that, less than 24 hours away. We got to go from Minnesota into Philadelphia and play an afternoon game. Is that something that's difficult for athletes to deal with, or do you just kind of, you know, live with it and put it past your mind and just get on with things?
Well, you know, it's definitely going to be difficult on the body and whatnot. But, you know, when it comes to game time, you get yourself focused again. And, you know, those bumps and bruises and aches and pains sort of fade away for the hour that you're there. I mean, I'm sure Sunday night when we're all flying home or whatever, we're going to be pretty tired and sore. But as far as it goes from a game standpoint, you know, we're going to be focused in and ready to go at it.
Yeah, we put up 20 goals against them the last time we played, but I wouldn't really expect that to happen again. What, maybe just talk about some of the keys that are going to be important to beating that defense.
Just moving the ball, moving our feet. You know, we have a quick offense. When we move the ball and everybody's touching it, swinging it around, you know, anybody on our offense can go off a night and bury the biscuit. So, you know, we just got to make sure that thing's moving and stick to what we did last game, because we know we're going to have the confidence as long as we keep moving that ball and sticking our shots.
Yeah, and of course, Brandon Miller not in that game last year, or last game, serving a suspension, but, you know, a guy that I'm sure you're familiar with playing against in the summer, and a 13-year veteran in the league. Maybe just touch on Miller's game a little bit and what he brings to the table.
Well, you know, he's a great goalie. You know, he's been playing, obviously, like you said, for many years. And I think for us, we really need to make our confidence high shooting on him. If we can, you know, move the ball, like I said, get him moving side to side and get a couple early on him, that's going to bring our heads in the game that, you know, we can score. And even though he is a very skilled veteran in the net, we can still bury when we need to and get as many as we need to get the win.
Josh, that's all the hard stuff. We got a little segment coming up here. We call it Stingers. It's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Sure.
Far side or short side?
Far side.
Tim Hortons or Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Flip-flops or sneakers?
Flip-flops.
Best sport other than hockey and lacrosse?
Golf.
Rap or rock?
Rock.
Books or movies?
Books.
If you could date any celebrity, it would be?
Next. I don't know.
He's passing on that one. His girlfriend's going to be listening to the show. Your dream car?
Dream car? Rover.
If you won the lottery, you would?
Buy a cottage on a lake by myself. Well, with my girlfriend or wife. only house on the lake is what I meant.
Okay. So a secluded cabin on a lake. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Last one. Coolest place you've ever traveled to?
I'd have to say Germany.
There it is, Josh. You made it. You did it. Your second time through Inside the Hive. I appreciate you coming in, and we'll see you on the weekend here coming up.
All right, awesome. Thanks a lot, Jake. I'll see you soon.
See ya. That was Josh Gillum, number 81 in your program for the Minnesota Swarm. And, Alec, a little shy there with the celebrity question. What was that all about?
Hey, sometimes those celeb questions put people on the spot, right? You never know.
Well, that's what Stingers are all about, and I think we're just about ready to have Matt Gibson in inside the Hive. We'll just wait for him to call in, but some interesting stuff there from Josh. You know, it can't be an easy thing, Alec, for a guy to walk back into a locker room kind of halfway through the season after everybody's kind of gone through training camp and, you know, through the exhibition in the beginning part of the season, especially when it's been a tough season so far. But, you know, I think coming in his second year, it's been a really nice addition to see Josh come back and then also to produce right away.
Yeah, I've noticed, as you touched on, just kind of a new sense of confidence from Josh. And, you know, I give him so much credit. It's not easy what he's doing coming in, especially when the team was at 3-7 and, you know, to switch sports that quickly. I know I think he joined the team on Thursday the other week, and he was still playing hockey here in Germany on Tuesday. So he had about a day to get home, get all his paperwork ready, you know, switch over to lacrosse and, you know, to get out on the floor there and really energize the team. I know, you know, Coach Sullivan touched on it in the locker room that, you know, Gillum has been one of the biggest cheerleaders on the bench, Jake, and it's just brought a lot to the team.
Yeah, you can really see he's had a really nice injection of energy. And, you know, on that left side, it's been a real nice shot in the arm. And it's tough to watch a great guy and a great player like Joel Henry get moved to the practice roster. But, you know, sometimes teams just need a bit of a shakeup and need a bit of a change. And you know, Josh was there, and it was a move that I think needed to be made. And it's looking like it's paying off so far. And hopefully, you know, the more comfortable Josh gets, the better he's going to be.
Yeah, you know, certainly when the team is struggling at times in any sport, you know, changes have to be made. And, you know, for any reason, it's just to kind of light a fire under some guys and, you know, make sure, you know, players aren't too complacent or taking, you know, advantage. And, you know, I think a change like that, you know, it's tough to see a guy like Joel leave. But at the same time, you know, everyone knows that they're, you know, any time you could get a call that you're traded or you're released. And it's just kind of a little self-reminder to everybody. And, you know, the focus of the team, you know, since, you know, as we talked about, since the Calgary game and kind of the trade deadline, everyone has kind of refocused in. And, you know, I think at this point we're playing pretty close to, you know, our best lacrosse of the season. I don't think we've reached our peak even yet. And it'll be an exciting finish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, we've kind of done it two different ways over the last two games too, with, you know, scoring 12 but only allowing 5, and then, you know, the next game we give up 11 but we put up 20. And it kind of seemed that it was going the other way for the majority of the beginning of the season, where, you know, when the offense was going, the D wasn't going, but and then vice versa. But over the last couple of games, it's kind of all seemed to come together, and probably most importantly, we've gotten two solid goaltending performances out of Carlson and Kirk over the last couple of games as well.
Yeah, goaltending situation early on, you know, it was, you know, kind of surprising to see Kirky struggle a little bit, and, you know, TC had been kind of carrying the weight. Well, now it seems like, you know, based on Kirk's last performance, we're back to the point, you know, where you can flip off either other goalie, and each one is going to give you, you know, a lights-out performance. So that's huge. It keeps teams off balance, Jake, as you know. And, you know, it's also contagious, too. I know you can probably attest to this. When you have two confident goalies, you know, everyone else is more confident in themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alec, I believe our next guest is ready to come inside the Hive. Is Matt Gibson ready to come in?
Yes, I'm here.
I appreciate you coming inside the Hive. And something that I always ask my first-time guest, Matt, is how did you get your start playing in lacrosse?
Let's see. I think in first or second grade, my mom had a newspaper clipping and asked me and my brother if we were interested in playing this sport called lacrosse. She didn't really know, you know, too much about it. And we were into it. We played a little bit of hockey growing up, so we were definitely into it. And then, you know, ever since then, I think for me it was first grade, I've been pretty much hooked.
Yeah, it's interesting. You don't hear too many stories about moms getting their kids into lacrosse. It's usually the dads or the brothers. And we'll talk about your brother a little bit here. But something I found, you know, interesting about you is that you come from the state of New York and in Long Island, and you played some lacrosse for a team that I now coach in the Langley Junior Thunder. Tell me how a kid from New York State ends up in Langley, B.C.
So up at school, I had a buddy named Greg Mahoney who was from Seattle. And I guess he's a really great great field player, and I guess they had reached out to him. I'm not sure how it went or if he reached out to them, but he had played there the year before, and then I guess it came up in conversation, and he said, you know, maybe we're looking for some guys to come up there if you guys are interested. And then me and my brother jumped on any opportunity to get out of the, you know, stay, being at home and having a job for the summer. So we ended up over in British Columbia and playing for Langley.
So your brother was also a lacrosse player, and, you know, I saw you tweet a picture of him the other day in his fatigues, if you will, and now a member of the Army, I believe. Is that a guy that, you know, you looked up to not only through your lacrosse career, but somebody you looked up to and was a bit of a role model for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself, the story. I went, you know, we went to the same high school. Unfortunately for our school policy didn't allow me to play with him on varsity when I was a sophomore. But then, you know, I had the chance to go off and play with him at school, and I followed off in his footsteps to Yale. So we finally got to play together, and obviously he was setting the bar pretty high for me in terms of what he did in lacrosse and where he went, ended up going. So definitely someone who has kind of, you know, set a good example for me. And now he left, I want to say, maybe 10 days ago to go off to basic training for the Army. He's going into Army Intelligence, so I think that's an awesome thing and something that he's been talking about doing for a while. So he's just, you know, continuing to do things that are a great example for me and setting the bar pretty high, and I'm proud of him. So
you mentioned going to school at Yale, and of course an Ivy League school, and I know recently there was a bit of a wager with Mr. Luxurious, who spent some time at Cornell playing there, and just, you know, talk about what it was like to go to an Ivy League school and get the chance to play lacrosse at an institution like that.
It was, you know, I guess, let's see, where to start. It was very challenging academically right off the bat, more so than it was throughout. Early on, I really struggled in school balancing lacrosse and academics, so I didn't do too hot early on. But then, you know, as I matured and I kind of figured out what it took to succeed in both of those realms, academics and lacrosse, I kind of figured it out. But, I mean, it's no different than going to any other school, you know. It's what you put into it. So I guess you have to put a little bit more into it if you want to do well on the academic side, because, you know, you're up against such fierce competition. So the experience was, I don't want to go out there and say it's much different than other guys that went off and played, you know, lacrosse at a different school. It was just a big adjustment for me academically, but I came out of it okay. But me and my brother kind of, we always say we went halvesies on a 4.0. So, you know, we came out with 2.0s a couple times, especially in season. But in season, you know, that's golden.
What classes were you taking there? Did you graduate? And what's your aspirations from going to school?
I actually majored in political science, which was more of doing that by default than it was me having any direction. I usually did pretty well in those classes, and it wasn't too complicated of a major. So I said, you know, I don't know what I want to do, and this will open up some broad windows if I do this major. But now, recently, I've just been playing lacrosse, working for Easton, and writing a sitcom on the side. So I'm hoping for that to be my career. Luckily, that's kind of something. That's something that you don't have to have a major in. It's just, if you got funny stuff, you got funny stuff. And obviously they could care less if I went to Yale. If anything, it's a disadvantage in this field.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the sitcom thing, because I caught some wind of that. But first I want to ask you some other stuff, and I know some people are probably really interested to hear this, and it's about your Twitter game. Now, first... You know, I want you to give the fans your Twitter handle, and then I want you to tell me, I mean, you're one of my favorite follows for sure, and the word is spreading pretty quickly that you're one of the most interesting guys, you know, in the world of lacrosse on Twitter. So give the fans your handle, and maybe tell us, how does Matt Gibson come up with some of this stuff in his head that ends up in Twitterverse?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is @itsMattGibson, so just ITS, Matt Gibson, no spaces. But I just use the Twitter for random little thoughts. If it's a real good thought that I think can tie in with some of the stuff that I'm writing, then I save it and you know, write it into some notes on my phone. But a lot of those are just things that I think a lot of people think, but, you know, don't really verbalize, don't know how to verbalize it. So stuff like that is kind of one of the reasons that I'm going into sitcom. I've always had a, you know, knack for writing things that a lot of people are thinking, but writing them in a pretty funny way. So I don't want to say there's anything too special going on in my mind and I'm stirring these things up. It's more just, I have a passion and a gift for writing creative things. So,
I definitely
appreciate the love on the Twitter because
get out there and follow Matt Gibson because you'll be in for a laugh. And you know, you mentioned that, you know, it's kind of like a Jerry Seinfeld sort of thing where you when you talk about things that are people are trying to that think about but don't not. I'll always say, is that, you know, is your sense of humor always kind of been unique to more other people?
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of the guy in college who would, everyone would experience something or know about some inside jokes on the team, but then I'd, you know, craft up an email that kind of tied a bunch of things together, you know, took a knock at a couple guys in a friendly way. So definitely. I mean, a lot of my life has revolved around lacrosse and lacrosse people and personalities. So definitely throughout my career, I've had a knack for being a guy who, you know, kind of takes what a lot of people are thinking on the team and putting it in an email or kind of calling people out on stuff and keeping it friendly still. But kind of being a guy who, you know, keeps it light in the locker room. If you're a guy who's trying to listen to Eminem, Don't Lose Yourself, and get pumped up before a game, don't sit next to me because I'm not going to get you in the zone, you know?
Yeah. Well, what, you know, you mentioned the sitcom. I don't know how much you can tell us about it, but maybe, you know, just give us a little bit of a background on how long you've been trying to put this thing together, and if you can give us a little bit about the premise, what's it about, and what your intentions are for it.
Yeah, so when I came out here, I knew in the back of my mind that this was something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't really sure how to go about it, and I was out there kind of searching for what should I write. I know that I could write funny things. What should I write? And then over time, as my living situation here has developed,
and we should probably just cut you off for a sec, Matt, and just let the people know where you are now, because it's not in Long Island, New York anymore. You're out in Santa Monica, California. Is that correct?
Exactly, Santa Monica. So I moved out here with a bunch of college buddies. There's 9 of us on one block. And then we have my childhood buddy who came out here and some things went awry for him. So he lives on our couch. And he's kind of been the inspiration for the show that I'm writing now is this kid who lives on our couch. And, you know,
I like it already.
Yeah, he's a great kid. But a lot of it is just based on stuff that is very similar to our real life, obviously exaggerated, but that's kind of the story of it. It's a lot of it is based on what's going on now, since we have a pretty interesting dynamic in my apartment. We got some people that are at the bottom, so to say. On the couch, and then we got a couple of my buddies who are doing really well and kind of funding the party.
Gotcha. Well, let's skip ahead. Best of luck with that, by the way. Let's skip ahead here a little bit. You won the Rookie of the Year in the MLL. That must have been a pretty neat and cool experience to have that award.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. I mean, it's just cool to have recognition like that among guys who are so good. So in college, we had a good program, but we never really were in the national spotlight. We never were playing against the Virginias or the Syracuses. So the MLL is my first chance to consistently play against guys who are highly touted and who are, you know, kind of the big names in the game. So it was nice to have some success, but obviously a lot of it had to do with the situation I was thrown into.
Let's skip ahead to the big day when you get drafted in the National Lacrosse League. It didn't come until the sixth round, I believe. And, you know, were you – I want to know whether you were watching the draft and did you know that you got drafted? And if so, you know, what did you know about the Minnesota Swarm when your name got called?
Actually, I didn't know. I had no idea. And I didn't know. I probably couldn't name all the – I can name a couple teams in the NLL, but I just – I always, you know, liked watching it, highlights and stuff, but I didn't follow it that closely because it wasn't a part of my upbringing and I hadn't always played it. That first taste of box I got in 2009 definitely – I mean, I definitely had a lot of fun. I definitely loved the sport. But when I got drafted, I was like, oh, you know, this is cool. I'd love to see if I get a shot at this, and it would definitely be something that I think I could do pretty well at, given some a chance. So for me, it was a surprise that I got drafted, but something that I was excited and skeptical about in terms of whether or not I thought I was going to get a real chance.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I was excited for a couple of reasons when I heard your name called. And the first, because you became the first ever Langley Junior Thunder player to ever get drafted in the National Lacrosse League, so you have that honor bestowed on you. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's been a couple more since then. Jaden Gastaldo also got picked up in last year's draft. But the other reason is that I had a chance to see you play back then, and then of course a little later on in your career. And you know, I thought to myself, man, if we could ever get this kid to actually figure out the box game, he's got the athletic ability and the stick skills and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, maybe just talk a little bit about training camp and that experience. What was that like for you going into something like that? Have you ever been through something like that before?
No, that was actually probably the most gruesome physical outing of my life. Especially because of the type of game that I play, because my success in box is quickness and constantly moving. So, you know, I think it was 2-a-days and 3 days. So, just nonstop sessions of, and especially when you're a guy that, to quote Drake, started from the bottom. I had a lot to prove, so I wanted to constantly be moving and doing my best. So, those 2-a-days for 3 days were really hard. Not to mention I'm thrown into the fire there because this is a sport that I only have minimal experience in. I'm kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I just got to show them that I'm athletic enough to do this. I just got to figure out what the hell's going on out here.
Yeah, no, it's understandable. It's taken you a bit longer to figure things out than, you know, guys that have played box across their whole life, but you know, it seems to me that you've been getting better and understanding a little bit more every practice and every game that goes by. You know, how do you think your assessment of your first year of pro box lacrosse has progressed?
I would say that it has happened slowly, but that I'm definitely 10 times more comfortable now than I was in the beginning. In the beginning, like I said, I was just, you know, kind of running around out there trying to be athletic and get to the goal. But now I'm kind of seeing the bigger picture, and a lot of it just has to do with me being comfortable out there. I mean, I would go out, you shouldn't be playing this sport and going out there and playing a sport like that and this and being nervous and feeling like, you know, worried. You should go out there and love to play it. So I'm finally at a level where I'm really starting to enjoy it, and I'm really getting comfortable, because obviously it wasn't as fun for me when I'm going out there and worried, am I doing this right? Is, you know, what can I be doing better? So now I'm finally getting to that level.
Yeah, I mean, usually the thing that'll happen for most guys is the game will slow down for you a bit, and you'll start to see the play develop a little bit better than you were. But maybe just, you know, tell me what do you think the biggest difference is between the field game and the box game?
One huge difference is that your athleticism doesn't go for as much, especially in the offensive position. So an athletic guy can't just come into the box game and really succeed. You really have to know, first of all, the system, and then second of all, how exactly to score on these nets. So you could be the most athletic guy around and get to the goal, but if you can't really put the ball in, then you're going to have some trouble. So early on I was finding myself constantly getting to the goal, but then I get there and I'm, you know, I don't know how to put it in. So I think the biggest difference is that it separates, you know, people who really know how to score the ball from people that just get by on their athleticism. So you see particularly American players that are excellent field players kind of struggle a little bit, like myself. And it really goes to show how much better these box players are at scoring, and scoring in spots that they're aiming for and on purpose. So I feel like in the field game, you score a lot of goals, not on accident, but you kind of just close your eyes, huck it at the goal, and hopefully that thing goes in. That's the story of my field career. But in box, you kind of really have to score with a purpose. So that's something that I'm kind of getting a grasp of.
Yeah, well, I mean, you haven't scored a lot in the National Lacrosse League. I believe you got 3 goals so far, but
yeah,
the 3 that you have scored have been pretty spectacular goals. So something's going right for you here. And you know, you mentioned that the stick skills. For anyone that hasn't seen the video of your stick skills video, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, I don't think I can do one of those tricks that you performed out there, but maybe just talk a little bit about, well, just where they can find the video if they want to go watch it, and what it was like to kind of film that, and how did the idea come about?
If you could probably just YouTube Matt Gibson stick tricks and it'll come up, but it came out because kind of throughout my lacrosse career, especially in the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot of tricks with my stick. You know, I worked a lot of lacrosse camps, so you find yourself experimenting with the stick and, you know, doing different tricks and stuff. And really it just happened because we decided, or me and my buddies were like, we should film this because no one really does anything like this, and it would be really cool to get this out there. And because it's kind of a whole different genre of what people would think of as lacrosse tricks. So
right.
It really just started from me having a stick in my hand so much throughout my childhood and throughout the past couple of years, and then getting to a point where it was like, all right, I think maybe we should film this. And because, I mean, it's great. It's good work. Kids with their sticks in their hand, it's never a bad thing. You know, if you got your stick in your hand, it's great. So the real lacrosse addicts out there are always doing, you know, stick tricks and stuff. So it's also cool to you know, inspire some young people to be creative with their stick. And obviously I like to play a creative style of lacrosse. So that's, it kind of turns
yeah.
over.
Absolutely. It must have taken quite some time to master some of those moves because they're pretty elaborate moves. And, you know, I think you're probably the only guy that I've seen try some of those things. I got to say that I'm a little disappointed that I've never seen you do it around the team, you know, after practice. Is that something you're conscious of and something you just don't do, or do you purposely not do that on your own?
Well, one thing is the Reebok sticks. I can't stall the ball on the side of them, so that puts me at a, you know, an inherent lower spot than I am with my Easton stick. But
okay,
then a lot of it,
gotcha.
You don't want to be that guy who comes into training camp doing tricks. People are like, who's this
yeah.
dork?
Yeah.
So
you were,
I mean,
pretty cognizant of that coming in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know what it said. I mean, what tricks really are is, you know, you could do all these. Can you play the sport? You know, are you good?
Right.
So
right.
I don't think that those translate over to the game, except that they say I've got a really good stick. But, you know, as I've gotten more comfortable with some of the guys, I've showed them a couple of the newer ones that I've been working on. And, you know, before a couple of practices, we had, you know, got me and McIntosh and a couple other guys trying to master a couple tricks when we should be probably
right.
getting our gear on. But yeah, definitely cognizant of it, just because you don't want to come in and have people say, you know, who the hell is this guy? But
yeah,
when,
when
you get to know people and they realize you're a good guy, you can kind of be like, hey, this is something that I mess around with.
There you go. Well, I'm sure some of the kids around the inside the Hive would love to see Matt Gibson do a few of those tricks, maybe just before warm-up, so you can keep that in mind. This is something I asked Josh, and I'll ask you too. I kind of have a thing with numbers. Is there a reason you wear number 66?
I wore 33 in college simply because when you come in as a freshman, you're straight up minion, and I had no other choice, and that was the only that was the only number available. And then when I went with the Lizards, one of our goalies was 33, so I just was thinking about it, and I said, you know what, might as well double it. So that was how I got that on the Lizards. And then with the Swarm, obviously, David Earl's 33, so I stuck with 66. But 33 is really where my heart is. I have a little tattoo of 33 on my wrist, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that. And the last thing, you mentioned Easton, and we might as well get that plug in there for you. You're sponsored by Easton Lacrosse, and maybe you can just talk a little bit about what you do for Easton and what they're trying to accomplish in the lacrosse world.
So I started working for Easton officially in January. I'm like a sales and marketing rep. We call it an Easton Ranger, so it's a mixed role. It's really trying to grow the brand and obviously sell Easton products and Southern California and you know, anywhere in the Western U.S., even Denver and stuff. So I'll probably take a couple trips to Denver. But Easton started out as Talon Lacrosse, Doug Appleton, and then Court and Blake Kim. They got acquired by Easton, and they kind of have a really, you know, grassroots approach to it. They really want to do what's best for the game. And, you know, obviously they have a real passion for their lacrosse products. So it's kind of cool to work at Easton, too, because they put so much work into baseball and hockey and obviously all the other sports they're involved in, that they have a lot of resources to actually make products that, you know, make you better. So it's weird. It was weird going working there. I'm like, you know, when I thought about a shaft before this, I'm thinking, are the colors cool? How is it going to look during the game type of thing? And then getting there, and they're testing the durability and testing, you know, with the flex, and how's it going to help you be a better shooter? So for me, it was like, you know, what's going on here? This is really cool. So that combined.
Yeah, it makes such a difference when the actual person cares about the product and the company cares about the product to make the best stuff possible. It can make such a difference.
Exactly. And they're, you know, probably the biggest part is the people I work with are just really good guys. So that's always a plus.
Well, Maddie, we got through all the tough stuff, and now it's time to have a little fun with a segment we like to call Stingers. It's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, sure.
Your go-to order at Starbucks?
Black Eye.
Can you surf?
Yes.
Favorite cartoon as a kid?
Rugrats.
Best video game ever made?
Mario Kart 64.
Slippers or socks?
Sandals.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Give me your top three movies.
Sandlot, The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I don't have a third.
Okay. If you could see any sporting event live, what would it be?
Floyd Mayweather boxing.
Interesting. The world would be a better place if everyone would
take themselves a little less seriously.
There you go. That's Matt Gibson. Great job, Gibby. I appreciate you coming inside the Hive. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jumbo.
And that was Matt Gibson. And Alec, what a bright future ahead for this guy.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun to watch this season. Jake, you know, go back to training camp, and this guy's stick skills were some of the best I've ever seen in my 5 years with the Swarm. Incredibly fast. You know, potential is sky high for this guy. That goal he had this past weekend, I think, almost could have made the Sports Center top 10 plays.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the goal he scored last week was just awesome. And, you know, he hasn't scored a lot so far this season, but the goals that he does score really seem to be highlight reel goals every time he puts it in the net. You know, you think back to that Colorado game from behind the goal, and then the one a few weeks ago where he, you know, juked about three guys and stepped back and ripped one into the top corner, and then, of course, the diving goal last week. So, you know, he continues to get better every practice and every game. And like you said, I think the sky's the limit for him. A big doubleheader weekend coming up this weekend, Alec. First against the Bandits, and a team that we faced in our first game of the year, a 13-12 game in that one, and a game that we led in the fourth quarter and let slip away I think, you know, the team has learned a lot since then, and we're a different team since then, but still this is going to be a tough test.
Yeah, I think Coach Sullivan would be the first one to tell you that, you know, you can never take Buffalo lightly. They're always going to come in and, you know, play a tough match. And, Jake, just thinking back to that first game, boy, you know, at the point we're at now with all the ups and downs and now that we're peaking, I just feel like this team is a lot stronger ball club than we were, you know, when we opened up in Buffalo.
You know, Buffalo on a five-game losing streak, and sometimes those are the most dangerous teams to face. And, you know, I'm glad we're going to be inside the Hive for this one, and we'll see. You know, we won two games in a row for the first time in this year, and we'll see if we can make it three against the Bandits. But then less than 24 hours later, we got the rematch against the Philadelphia Wings. It's going to be a tough night, a tough day of travel to get into Philadelphia and play an afternoon game there. But, you know, you're probably going to see a different Philadelphia Wings team than we saw last week in Minnesota.
Yeah, I look at their goaltender, Brandon Miller, back, which will make a difference. Obviously, they'll be playing at home. You know, one nice thing is they'll also be dealing with the travel as they play in Rochester night before as well. So, you know, both teams are going to come in. You know, you can use the travel, you know, as an excuse. But, you know, Jake, no one in this league does that. You know, everyone will just show up on the floor. Everyone's good to go. And, you know, all those kind of little, maybe little small injuries or fatigue kind of goes away. I think the adrenaline takes over at that point. So it'll take the same focus, you know, same mentality that we had last weekend to pull a win in Philadelphia. Obviously, they're trying to, you know, reach the playoffs as well, so they're going to come in pretty hungry, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely exciting doubleheader weekend for the Minnesota Swarm, as it's the Bandits on Saturday and the Philadelphia Wings on Sunday. That is going to do it for this episode of Inside the Hive. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes so you never miss an episode. A big thank you to Josh Gillum and Matt Gibson for coming inside the Hive. Also a thanks to NLL Radio for airing the show along with MNSwarm.com. Don't forget to give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow the Minnesota Swarm at Minnesota_Swarm. You can follow Alex Shimke at Alec_Shimke and myself at PXP4Lax. That's going to do it. For Alex Shimke, I am Jake Elliott, and for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.